3, 2, 1.
Here we go.
You are now listening to the Shalana Folks Talk Show, where I share stories of women who have overcome opposition and evolved into amazing entrepreneurs and powerful leaders. As a former event planner of 10 years, I am now infusing events with my exciting energy as an MC and host. Motherhood also compelled me to build a home-based business. I am the founder and owner of HBCU Legacy Fashion, a kids boutique that builds awareness around HBCUs while giving back through scholarships. You can learn more at HBCULegacyFashion.com. Now that we're acquainted, let's get into the show.
3, 2, 1.
Sterling Gray Simmons is a certified breastfeeding specialist and the owner of Loyal Lactation. She educates new and expecting families on breastfeeding in the Metro Atlanta area as well as virtually. Sterling is the creator of the educational breastfeeding coloring book, Facts and Tips for Mother and Child, and the Doula breastfeeding course, Straight from the Tap. Her aim is to be the support that she wished for when she was in need of breastfeeding education and support. Help me welcome to the show, Sterling Gray Simmons. Sterling, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, how are you doing? Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So I always like to start off by asking everyone on the show what they wanted to do when they were 8 years old. So we know where you are today, but what did 8-year-old Sterling want to do?
8-year-old Sterling probably wanted to be like a model. Or an actress or something like that. That was what I was really, really into when I was younger. Yeah. And I did a good job of it until I was like, maybe like 13 or 14. And I didn't get any taller than 5'5". So that kind of fizzled my modeling career out. So.
Okay. So then what happened after that? Did you end up, going to school for something that was like related to like the health and sciences, since you're kind of like in that now?
I actually went to school for communications.
Oh,
I did not know that I would end up in anything even remotely close to this until becoming a parent myself and realizing that there was such a huge need for education. My dad always said I should be a teacher, like my whole life. He's been telling me I should be a teacher. So I'm like, I guess I listened to some of what he said because I'm teaching people. I'm not necessarily a teacher, but hey. So yeah, that's kind of how I got led down this path.
Okay, so tell me more about your journey to becoming a certified breastfeeding specialist. So like, how did you, and obviously your mom, but how did you become like really interested in breastfeeding and providing support to Black women who breastfeed?
That's a really good question. So I had my first child this is not a real baby. Like I touched his head. Like I was talking about, this is my prop baby. Sorry. I had my first child at 21. Mm-hmm. And I was the first person in my family to breastfeed. My immediate family, like neither one of my grandmothers breastfed, my mom didn't breastfeed, my aunts, I think I had one aunt who may have breastfed, but her children were younger than me, so you know, I didn't know. But I didn't have anybody that I could just like call and be like, hey, is this what I'm supposed to do? Is this normal? Like, how is this supposed to work or anything like that? And my husband and I wish I could say like I chose to breastfeed just because, you know, it was healthy and all this other stuff. But in actuality, I chose to breastfeed because it was free and I did not want to have to pay $30 a can for formula. So I was like, let me see what this breastfeeding stuff is about. So I ended up breastfeeding him. I tell the story all the time. So if you follow me, I'm sure you heard me tell it. But when my son was born, he was born vaginally, everything was good. And I ended up having to get stitches, and they literally got him out, raised him up, and showed him to me like the Lion King, and then left. Like, so I barely even realized like what my baby even looked like. So I told my husband, I was like, go with them, because I didn't even get a good look at him. So I don't even know, like, you know, they could switch my baby out. So I was like, go with them. So So he goes with them, and you know, they do all the temperature checking, this like bathing him, all that kind of stuff. And I'm getting the stitches, and then they brought him back maybe like 45 minutes later, and they're like, "Mom, he's hungry. He's sucking his hands. Here you go." And left me with like no direction, no help, nothing. So I was like, okay. And like, I think the next day they brought me in a hospital grade breast pump, and they were like, "You need to be pumping. You need to pump. And I was like, okay. So I started pumping, like didn't know anything about anything, and ended up with like a huge oversupply. I was pumping like a gallon of milk every day. Like, and he wouldn't take a bottle from me. So he would only take a bottle from his dad when I wasn't around. So it wasn't even like I could be sitting next to him and he would take the bottle from his dad. Like, no, he would literally be like, "Is my mom in here before I take this bottle? Like, do I see my mom?"
I totally understand, because my oldest son wouldn't take one at all, not even with his dad, with no one. He would wait until I would return, if that meant 9 hours, 8 hours, however long it took. He just would not take a bottle. But
so he ended up taking the bottle, but it wasn't like doing anything, because I'm still having to breastfeed him when I'm back at home. So I ended up with this freezer full of milk. Like, my husband was looking at me like, "We don't have any place to put our food. Like, what are you going to do with this?" And he was basically telling me to throw it away. And I'm like, "No, I can't throw this away. Like, what is wrong with you? Do you know how hard I work for this?" And he's looking at me like, "Girl." And this is in 2011. So I really didn't know anything about, you know, like selling milk or anything. Like, I didn't know anything. And I ended up mentioning it to his pediatrician, and his pediatrician was like, "Well, you know, you can donate milk to the people to the babies at the NICU." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So I just randomly showed up with like this igloo freezer thing full of milk. And the nurse was like, "Oh, wow, thank you." And I was like, "I have way more. Like, is there more like I can give you?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, we'll take all that you got." So I ended up like clearing out most of my freezer and giving it to them. And then I had my daughter. Well, I was able to breastfeed him for a year. And I always said, like, the fact that I breastfed him for a year is a miracle, because I literally had no idea what I was doing. But I had my daughter in 2015. And shortly after she was born, she was maybe like 6 weeks old, I got a really, really bad kidney infection. And nobody told me that I could breastfeed her while I was sick. So I just was like, "Oh, I probably don't need to be breastfeeding her." And I didn't breastfeed her for 7 days. And I ran a fever of 104 for 7 days along with that. So by the time I was feeling better and went to put her on my boob, I really didn't have a supply. Right. So I went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, "Oh, you can take this pill and you can, but you have to pump and dump when you take the pill." And I was like, "Oh my God, this is so stressful. Like, what in the world?" So I ended up being able to relactate her. And that's just, that means I was able to get back to producing breast milk. And I breastfed her like 14 months. And in that time, some more of my friends started having children. And I was like the resource that everybody was calling, like, "Sterling, what do you need to do? Do I need to do this? Is this normal? Blah, blah, blah." And my husband is very entrepreneurial minded. And he was like, "You need to see if you can, you know, make a business around this, like, go learn and get certified or something about it." So that is how I got into this field. And I just tell people all the time that I aim to be the support that I wish I had had in those times when I really needed it.
So I'm on my third child that I'm breastfeeding, and the things that I'm hearing, I'm just like, these doctors, and I tell new moms, if they're not a lactation consultant and they don't have the education in it, just because they're a doctor does not mean they know. So no. Like, just the fact that they were having you pump like your first day or second day, they're like, "Here's a pump. Here's that caused your oversupply.
Exactly.
One. And then the whole, you have to dump your milk out. Well, I had one C-section, I had two VBACs, but the first C-section, I was thinking how, you know, this whole pump and dump thing is a myth, because they had me on narcotics and I'm still breastfeeding my baby at the same time. So, and I know there's like certain medications that you do have to be wary of, and there's, I don't remember what the website is called, but there is a website or an app.
There's several websites that'll tell you like what medications are approved and like which ones are not, and also like what variants of certain medications are approved and all that good stuff.
Right. So my next question is, why is it so important? I know you mentioned like not many of your family members breastfed. In your opinion, and I have my own, why is it so important for Black women to breastfeed?
I feel like there's such a negative connotation with breastfeeding in our community. And, you know, it has all kinds of deep roots and, you know, you can say slavery and, you know, just all kinds of things. But I can speak from talking to my grandmothers. My grandmother on my father's side is 87. And she basically told me that the way it was marketed when she was having children, my father is 62. So 62 years ago, it was marketed like, if you're poor, mm-hmm. You breastfeed. Mm-hmm. But if you can afford the best of the best and you can afford formula, give your baby formula. Oh, that breast milk is just for poor people that wish they could afford formula, but they can't. So, and it's like, they were making all kind of concoctions and, you know, just everything but putting their baby to the breast. So I feel like when I came around and I was like, oh, I'm going to breastfeed, they were already looking at me sideways, like, why are you doing that? And like telling me that it was gross and all kind of just, you know, crazy stuff like, I wouldn't want any baby sucking on me and all kind of crazy stuff like that. And especially when I breastfed the first one for a year, they were like, oh, how long are you going to do that? Like, what are you doing? By the time I got to the second and third one, they were like, oh, Sterling, you know, Sterling breastfeeds, like, we don't even talk to her about that anymore. It's very important for us to understand, you know, the health benefits of breastfeeding, not only for the baby, but also for the mom. Like, there's, with just by breastfeeding, you're less likely to have certain cardiovascular issues. You're less likely to have, you know, certain types of cancer, like breast cancer and ovarian cancer. You're less likely to have like endometriosis, all kinds of stuff. I think I said osteoporosis, but I'm not sure. And then for the baby, people think that, you know, people always say, oh, breastfed babies are smarter. But they also have less ear infections. They also have less, they're less likely to have asthma. They're also generally healthier. They're also less likely to be obese in both childhood as well as adulthood. So it's like the gift that keeps on giving for mom as well as baby. And I think it's really important to address the fact that at one time we were the ones who were breastfeeding, I guess if we take it back to slavery, we were the ones that were breastfeeding the slave owner's baby. So that tells you like the potency and the importance of our milk. Like, breastfeeding didn't start and, you know, during slavery, and it shouldn't stop during slavery. Like, I know it's probably some, you know, deep rooted issues and all that type of stuff, but just understanding the benefits and understanding some of the disadvantages associated with formula, I think it's at least worth giving it a try.
Yes, I'm glad you touched on the history, because I did want to go into that and just say how that's why a lot of women in my family didn't either as well. And I'm sure it has to do with the whole just being passed down from generations and generations of, you know, well, you know, your so-and-so had to breastfeed this, you know, wet nurse. Mm-hmm. And then also the formula thing. I have a cousin who was kind of like in your situation with family saying, oh, you just being cheap, like trying to breastfeed, and that's nasty and all this stuff. So what are some other myth busters here when it comes to breastfeeding that we can kind of like knock down right now?
The first one is that you cannot get pregnant while you breastfeed.
Oh, wow. Well, I have kids 19 months apart. I was pregnant when my son was 10 months old. Yeah.
So I'm right in the same boat. My oldest one is 5 years older than my youngest one, but my youngest two are 22 months apart. So I totally am in this, like, didn't even listen to myself. Yeah, you definitely can get pregnant while you're breastfeeding. The reason why that is a myth is because a lot of mothers do not have cycles while they're breastfeeding. And when I say a lot, that's kind of, you know, just kind of general. Relative. But some people, you know, yeah, relative. Some people have cycles, you know, 6 weeks after they give birth. Mm-hmm. Other people do not. Like, I honestly, like I said, my middle two are, younger two are 22 months apart. I didn't have a cycle almost 4 years just from being pregnant, breastfeeding.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it definitely can be, and just because I did not have a cycle in that time, obviously I still ovulated at least one time because I ended up with a whole nother person. So you definitely can get pregnant. You're less likely to get pregnant if you're exclusively breastfeeding the first 6 months. And that's kind of nature's way of, you know, keeping you from having babies 9 months apart. But still, that is not 100%. So you definitely don't want to rely on breastfeeding as your birth control. So keep that in mind when, even if you're not having a cycle, you could definitely still be ovulating and you could definitely still end up pregnant.
Right. Exactly. So that's definitely a good myth. And then I think another one is the whole pumping too early, you need to pump right away. Like, I thought that too, like, you need to have a huge stash. Like, that's a myth. Like, as long as you have, unless you're going on a trip and you're going to be gone for, you know, a week or more, I would say a 48-hour to 72-hour stash is good enough for a working mom. What would you
really say? Honestly, like, most moms only have enough milk for the next day. Honestly,
no, that's me. But so, I was trying to be, because clearly I was just pumping before this call.
So honestly, like, most moms only have enough milk for the next day. So if you, of course, you know, we all see the women on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and everything else with these freezers full of milk. And, you know, like I said, I was one of those mamas who had a freezer full of milk. Like, I was contemplating having to buy a deep freezer just for milk. And that was just because, why? Because I had an oversupply. So if you see those pictures, either that mom is an exclusive pumper or she has an oversupply.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, if she's spending hours and hours hooked up to the pump, of course she's probably going to have a freezer full of milk. But you do not. You don't have to have oodles and oodles of milk to be successful at breastfeeding, or, you know, worried about going back to work or anything like that. As long as you're a caregiver or your daycare is educated on pace feeding in order to make sure they're not overfeeding your baby when you're not around.
Let's talk about that. I literally was just talking to one of my good friends this morning about pace feeding because, I mean, she knows what pace feeding is. This is her second child, but she was, they're 5 years apart. So she was really stressed out saying how, you know, she's been sending 25 ounces there. Her son's born in November. What is March, December, January, February, March. So he's 4 months old. She's been sending 25 ounces. They've been using up all 25 ounces for the 8 to 9 hour period. I said, girl, that is too much milk.
Too much milk.
Way too much. And so she's like, I don't have enough milk and I don't know what to do. Now they're telling me they need to put cereal in his body. Another myth. So for the mom who thinks, okay, I don't have enough milk, like, what's a good amount of milk that they should be able to have for their child a day?
Generally, I encourage moms to have at least 1.5 ounces for every hour that they plan on being gone. Just because, you know, if they're properly pace feeding, just depending on, you know, their age. A lot of people are not aware of, like, you know, stomach sizes and all that stuff. So they see, you know, if you're only familiar with formula, they see formula fed babies drinking, you know, 8 ounce bottles at, I don't even know, maybe like 6 months old. And they're like, oh, I need to be pumping 8 ounces and giving my baby 8 ounce bottles because so-and-so down the street's baby's drinking 8 ounces and my baby should be drinking 8 ounces. This is my little crochet thing in it. This is the stomach size of a 1 month old. And this probably holds like 2 to 5 ounces. Five is like max amount of fullness. And whether your baby is 1 month, 18 months, they shouldn't be having more than 5 ounces at any given sitting. So, depending on their age, your caregiver should be instructed to educate themselves on pace feeding, even if she has to like print out a sheet or something. Or, hey, she can come take one of my classes and learn about, you know, properly caring for a breastfed baby in order to just know something as simple as positioning a baby when you're pace feeding. So this is my prop baby. Most people feed babies like this. Mm-hmm. And they just, you know, the bottle just goes down the throat. You know, they're just drinking. They pay no attention to the amount that's coming out of the bottle. Nothing. They just say, hey, grab me. Here you go. Drink. Okay, it's empty. Let me burp you. When we're pace feeding, we encourage the mom to or the caregiver to sit the baby up. And we're going to use the slowest flow nipple or a preemie nipple. And we're going to alternate between 45 and 90 degree angles. You can also do this while laying down and do it like this also. And that basically mimics the way that they would breastfeed. So just little things like that, that they can do to make sure that they're not being overfed when they're in other people's care.
Yes, totally agree. And another myth. Let's see. What's another myth that I have heard? We talked about the cereal in the bottle, or like some people
talk about that.
Yeah, you know what? When I first, like, I remember it was, I had big babies, so my oldest son was 9 pounds 10 ounces when he was born, and so I remember someone saying, and because I didn't know, I was like, well, I have to eventually put cereal in his body. Like, would the milk not be enough? And the person was like, yeah, it's not going to be enough because he's a big baby. He's, you know, he's mm-hmm. big, he's fat. And so you will have to put some cereal in his bottle in a couple months so that he can have enough food, because you're not going to be able to give him enough from just drinking milk. And I was like, I remember going to the breastfeeding group that I was a part of and telling them, like asking them that same question. And they were like, no, your milk grows with them. So let's talk about that.
Definitely. That is a huge myth, not even just in breastfeeding, it's in baby
right.
in general. Like, I don't know why people think that, you know, newborns are supposed to come out of the womb sleeping through the night. And regardless of the amount of cereal you put in their bottle, baby food, or I even had a lady tell me she makes.
They're not going to sleep the whole night. They're not.
They're not going to sleep through the night. Like,
it's for their safety.
I'm like, they're not pro. I'm like, do you want to know why babies wake up through the night? It's to prevent SIDS.
Right.
So would you, they're literally programmed to wake up to keep them from dying.
Exactly.
So I know I've been there. I know what it's like to be exhausted and just like, oh my God, I just need like a full hour of sleep. Hey, but I would much rather be sleep deprived with an alive baby than sleep deprived with a dead baby, because I'm not gonna sleep if I got a dead baby.
Right.
So
you're depressed. You're definitely not gonna sleep.
And then I'm gonna be hawking over my other two, making sure nothing's going on with them. So I'm probably gonna sleep even less.
Right.
So I definitely tell them, like, do not put anything other than milk in the bottle. I had a lady go back and forth with me tooth and nail about this is the way that they do it with their family. They put cereal, they put baby food, and they put like Benadryl or something in the bottle. And I was like,
you tell you trying to kill the baby.
And I'm Benadryl. Like, Benadryl. And this is like a like 4 month old. And I'm like, no, why that baby shouldn't be having any kind of food. She's like, oh, he's greedy.
He's not greedy.
He's not greedy. He's not greedy. You're just, one, you're overfeeding him. Two, you've stretched his stomach, you know. And then they say, oh, well, my mom did it with me and I turned out fine. Well, no, you're really not fine, because technically, you know, you're only like 4 feet tall. You're probably obese. You know, you probably have some type of gastrointestinal issues. I guarantee you've got all these, you know, diabetes runs in your family and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, so you're really not fine, but you're going to say you're fine. You're going to turn around. You're going to do the same thing to your baby. So yeah,
it starts in the beginning. And breaking those and being open to education and new research. That's one thing about community. They don't, oh, you listening to them doctors and them
Google doctors. Is literally free.
Right. Like what we did. No.
No.
I mean,
when you know, and I'm like a firm believer. There. I'm like, a firm believer of when you know better, you do better.
Right.
So yeah, your grandma may not have known not to put cereal in your bottle, or may not have known not to put baby food in the bottle, because nobody was there telling her about newborn stomach size or anything, or gastrointestinal health or anything like that. So that may have, you know, she may have done it for your father or your grandfather or whomever, but that doesn't mean here in 2021 when you literally have Google in your hands, you should be making the same mistake somebody made 60 years ago.
And one thing that is another myth that I hate hearing is, oh, that baby is greedy because they keep eating. No, the baby's not greedy. The baby is clustered.
The baby's stomach is this big.
Yes, and the baby is peeing several times a day, liquid. If you were on a liquid diet all day,
you would drink water or whatever liquid it was that you were drinking. And as soon as your stomach, like, you're talking to somebody who just finished like a 14-day fast in February. So I was literally there, you know, just drinking liquids and everything like that. And I was literally in the bathroom all day long. But I was drinking and I'd be like, okay, I'm a little full now because I drank all this water. I drank the smoothie or I did whatever. Okay, now I have to go to the restroom. I probably got a little room more for, you know, some more water, you know, all that same stuff. And again, like I said, if your stomach was this big, it doesn't take long to empty or fill this. So no, your baby's not greedy. Your baby's stomach's this big. Your baby is cluster feeding, or your baby, you know, might have an earache or, you know, something like that, might want to nurse for comfort. Especially in the beginning, you know, they might want to nurse because they don't like the man cutting the grass outside. They never heard that sound before. They might want to nurse because they passed gas and they didn't know what that was when they passed gas. You know, all types of reasons. So just put that baby on your boob. Like, they're not greedy. You're not going to overfeed them directly from your breast. Like, just put your baby on your boob.
Well, some moms are also afraid. They don't want to breastfeed. They'd rather bottle feed because they're like, well, I don't know if they're getting enough. I can't tell how many ounces. And I'm like, the baby's gonna stop when the baby's full, but then the baby wants some more later. Well, because the baby,
give it, put
the baby back on the breast. That's how one we get supply.
One of my favorite sayings is, watch your baby, don't watch your clock.
That's a good
one. It's no reason you should be, oh, well, I just breastfed him 30 minutes ago, I just breastfed him 15 minutes ago. No, look and learn your baby's hunger cues. Oh, he's probably hungry because he's sucking on his hands, or he's smacking with his lips, or, you know, he's licking his lips or anything like that. Like, mine used to all kind of make this up. Like, excuse me, ma'am, where are you with my boob? And I'll be like, okay, let me go on and feed them. And I know that because I watched my baby.
Yeah,
I wasn't focusing on the clock.
Yeah.
So watch your baby, don't watch the clock.
Those are all really, really good. Now, I want to kind of get into you and your business and your coloring book that is so cute. Tell me all about that.
Okay. I have it right here. So this is my educational breastfeeding coloring book. It is Facts and Tips for Mother and Child. It has all kind of creative images where you can color. And learn all about breastfeeding. I am big on representation. So I wanted to make it a coloring book so that you can color in your own image. I know in a lot of breastfeeding literature, there's a lot of white breasts and pink nipples. So even if you want to color it brown with brown nipples, or, you know, purple with blue nipples, or whatever, you know, whatever your prerogative is, you're able to do it and not necessarily be forced to look at one type of nipple, one type of areola, all that stuff. So I created the book after meeting with so many clients who were telling me, like, hey, I tried to read up on breastfeeding beforehand, but everything that I was coming across was either like some type of scholarly dissertation, or it was a mom blog, and I really couldn't guarantee the information that I was reading was good information. So, I was like, okay, I got to make an easy to digest way for them to understand. And I had the idea. I was like, I like to color. What if I put a coloring book and, you know, people learn differently. So some people want to look at an image. Some people can just read the words and understand. And I was like, I can marry those things together and make an educational breastfeeding coloring book. So that's how it was born.
And where can it be ordered?
So it's on my website, loyallactation.org. It's on Amazon also, but I would much rather you prefer it to order for me. As well as lots of doulas and, you know, midwives and a couple of other people, like some chiropractors, they also include it in their packages to give to their clients, either when they come on board or as like a postpartum gift or something like that.
That's a cool gift for new moms. I really like
that way, you know, they got a valuable resource, like in their hands. So it's like, oh, okay. And like, I've had people say like, hey, I ordered this book and my husband and I, like, I'm actually reciting the Sky's Review. He was like, hey, me and my wife sit in bed every night. We designate an hour before we go to bed to color a page from your book. And then we discuss what we read and what we colored. So I was like, okay, that's a really cool way, you know, to do something during your pregnancy to prepare yourself beforehand.
You know what? That's actually a cool, I used to be an event planner, but for like a baby shower, that would be a cool like little baby shower activity. Everyone get like a sheet out of the book and then you're just like learning different things at the shower. I think that's super cool. So, okay. Now, women who are running businesses and maybe working, do you have like any tips for them when it comes to like breastfeeding? They're like, they want to keep breastfeeding. Some of them are feeling like, oh my gosh, this is too much. Pumping's too much. I just want to give up and just get a formula. What would you say?
Well, first I'm going to tell you to take a breastfeeding class. So you understand beforehand what you're getting into and you understand what's normal and what's not normal so that you're not talking yourself out of it thinking, you know, with any misleading thoughts. Like we were talking about like the stash and all that stuff. So you're not thinking, oh, well, I'm just going to go on and stop breastfeeding anyway because I don't have a freezer full of milk, so I must be doing something wrong. So if you're kind of informed, it's a little harder to necessarily, you know, just talk yourself out of it. Have a plan before you start breastfeeding. Know what you want to do, how long you want to breastfeed. Make sure that your family or your support system is educated on breastfeeding as well. So when it comes time for, you know, for them to go to daycare, or go to grandma or whomever, like I teach breastfeeding classes and I'm very big on like tribe or village mentality. So I'm telling you like, hey, if your grandma, your auntie, your husband, your girlfriend, whomever, bring them to the class with you so they can all learn about breastfeeding also. And that way, when you're doubting yourself or you're having these issues, they can say, oh no, remember we took that class and she said this, this, and this. And that's gonna like reassure you to help you keep doing what you're doing. Also, if you're physically going into work, make sure you let your HR or, you know, your manager or whomever know that you're breastfeeding so they know how to accommodate you. It's the law, and I believe in all 50 states, that they have to give you a place to pump and that it cannot be a restroom. So you need,
so it's like 50 employers or more.
Yep. You need to have space. You need to have space to breastfeed, or they just need to give you time to breastfeed. I have a lot of clients who say, well, oh, I don't necessarily have time to stop. Like I just finished with a client who was a nurse and she's like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do when I go back to work. So we talked about it. She ordered the Willow breast pump so she can put in her bra and pump while she's, you know, going back and forth because she's working 12-hour shifts. So that worked for her. So definitely have a plan. Know where to find your resources. And don't be afraid to speak up for yourself. And if you're working from home, you know, just get either like a quiet breast pump like Spectra. So if you're talking on the phone or you're doing something, as long as you don't have your video on, they won't know. Be pumping your milk. Or, you know, latching your baby or whatever it is that you have to do. If you're going to pump, make sure you are pumping when you're like mimicking your baby's feeding schedule. So if you're an exclusive pumper or you're somebody who says like, okay, I'm going to pump and breastfeed or whatever, you can have somebody else feed them while you pump in order to mimic their routine instead of trying to say, again, I'm going to feed every 2 hours. I'm going to pump every 2 hours. Nope. We're not sticking to that type of schedule. We're mimicking our baby. So we're again, watching our baby and not the clock.
Yes. That's good. Okay. You know what I want to ask you? There's this phrase that can be triggering to some people. How do you feel about it? The phrase breast is best.
It's definitely best. Like it's been scientifically proven that breast milk, you know, there's no comparison for breast milk. And I really don't like when they say like, no, breast is not best. Fed is best. And I'm like, okay, no, fed is like mandatory or you're going to go to jail or you're going to, you know, kill your baby. Like that's literally the least you have to do is feed your baby. So yes, breast milk is the best milk. So I'm not mom shaming. I'm not telling you you're a terrible mom if you choose to formula feed or you breastfed for a day and decided, you know, it wasn't for you or whatever the reason was you stopped breastfeeding. No, like I'm not saying anything bad about you by bringing up scientific information that breast milk is literally the best thing, you know. So, you know, I know people get in their feelings about that, but
yeah, I you know, I was in this mom group one time, and in the rules, you cannot bring up the phrase "breast is best," or you get kicked out. And I was like, you know, I don't even want to be in this group.
I didn't want to be in this group. Like, what am I even here for?
That's the thing. Like, okay, if you had the choice, you know, to eat something healthy or to eat some French fries or pizza or a burger or something. Okay, yes, you might be hungry, and so feeding you is necessary. But the healthiest part and the best thing would be to have that salad and vegetables.
Exactly.
So it's not to say
it's levels.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's nothing about against anyone. Like you said, you can choose to feed your baby however you want, but what comes out of your body, what's natural, yeah, it is the best thing for them with the antibodies.
And then you always have those people with, well, what if I eat McDonald's every day? You're trying to tell me that that's better than formula?
Yeah, yeah. It's safe from your bloodline.
Yeah.
do you realize there's women in Africa who don't get to eat?
Who don't even eat. Or, you know, at least in other countries, you know, who may not have access to food every day. And you know what? They breastfeed their babies.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, it's still better. Like, right. And then I had one lady tell me like, oh, well, what if the mom's on drugs? Well, obviously, she shouldn't be breastfeeding. Yes. Obviously.
Want to transfer cocaine to the baby.
Obviously, she shouldn't. And they're like, well, that's an example of when breast is not best. And I'm like,
okay
lady, whatever. And I can say, I can say the same thing. What if you put meth in your baby's formula? Formula isn't best. There you go.
Right.
I can make the same thing. I can make the same argument. And then she blocked me. And I was like, okay, oh, well, I was tired of talking to you anyway, so.
In all truth, you know, see, like, it is the mother's decision to do whatever is best for her schedule or whatever, but we want to encourage them to do
breastfeed.
Now, finally, I would like for you to leave us with one of your life quotes, your life mottos that you can leave to all the mompreneurs that are listening to this episode.
Before we do that, I just want to make sure I let everybody know about what exactly it is that I do, if that's okay.
Oh, okay,
like,
yeah.
Just so they know. So I teach classes on breastfeeding. I educate families and, you know, the breastfeeding parent, as well as the non-breastfeeding parent, because I let dad or, you know, the girlfriend or whomever know other things that they can do, so they don't necessarily have to just be like, oh, well, I have to pump because I want him to be able to feed right. The baby and bond. So, of course, I'm giving you, like, all types of stuff like that. I also have a course entitled Straight from the Tap, in which I educate doulas on how to assist their clients with breastfeeding. So because I met a lot of doulas who were telling me that in their certification, they felt like breastfeeding was either skipped over or it was like a handout or, you know, like the bare minimum. And they were like, well, I don't know how to help my clients. Like, I'm automatically just saying, oh, you gotta go to whomever. So I do that as well. And then there's the book. So that's all, everything that right. I do, like, in a nutshell. Also, we launched these shirts, Birthwork for Us, by Us. And we have a giveaway going on. I'm not sure when this is going to air, but this is World Doula Week. So we're doing, if you buy this shirt, or we have another variation of this shirt, you get a free copy of my book. And, well, you can enter to win a free copy of my book and a free Straight from the Taps, like $110 value. So if anybody's interested, that'll work. Now, what was your question? I'm sorry.
I was asking you, what quote would you like to leave with all of our moms?
You cannot pour from an empty cup.
Amen.
You definitely have to take care of yourself. And I feel like as mothers, we get so caught up in caring for everybody else, especially breastfeeding moms, because, you know, you feel like, oh, well, I can't run to Target for 2 hours and just dilly-dally in there because I have to make sure I can feed my baby or, you know, whatever it is. But even if you're breastfeeding, still take care of yourself. Make sure, you know, you're doing little stuff. Self-care doesn't have to be expensive. It can be something as simple as taking a bath at night with the door locked and making sure, you know, the kids are already in bed and nobody's bothering you, reading a book or whatever. So you can't pour from an empty cup. Make sure you're doing things to take care of yourself so that you can better take care of everybody else.
Thank you, Sterling. And one last time, let us know how we can get in touch with you, website, Instagram, whatever that is.
Okay. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Clubhouse. So if y'all have Clubhouse, at Loyal Lactation, that's LOYAL Lactation, C-T-A-T-I-O-N. I know people are like, wait, how do you spell that? So that's Loyal Lactation. And my website is loyallactation.org. I also have, if you're on Clubhouse, I also have a club, Birth Work For Us By Us, in which I'm always on there talking about birth work, breastfeeding, all that stuff. So everywhere they want to find me, I'm at Loyal Lactation.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to pop into your club one day. All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad you came and shared with us.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. If you enjoyed this episode as much as I did, take a screenshot, tag Shalena Fultz on Instagram, and let me know what your favorite part was. And never forget, you're doing your best, and your best is good enough.